The incomplete history of the Dadanarchic interventions. I created the first Dadanarchic flyer for my professor of the Department for Educational Science in January 1989. This happened at the University of Tübingen after I briefly discussed with him about the human language in a speech that Sigmund Freud mentioned in his model of the mental apparatus. As you might know, the model of the mental apparatus by Sigmund Freud consists of the it, which is the physical body, the I or ego, and the superego. I told my professor that I quite don't believe that the neurons of the individual human brain have to form instances that talk in spoken human language to each other. At all. This is not necessary in order to make the brain function properly. This is quite contrary to the idea of Sigmund Freud that the superego talks to the ego through the voice of consciousness. I was, and I'm today still quite sure, that the human brain doesn't need this brain self-talk. If the operation of the supposedly normal mental apparatus, according to Freud, depends on voices appearing in the brain, such as the voice of the superego, threatening and watching the ego in spoken human language, brain talk, I generally consider such voices hallucinations that need to be stopped. My professor didn't know what to reply, and the conversation ended at that point. A few days later, I gave him flyer number one. Flyer. I am da. So all thoughts in which an I occurs are da, da, are not da. I'm not da, da, I'm da. The copyright is da, da. The state is da, da. I am da, da. He told me that he enjoyed it and that he would hang it to a wall in his office. This flyer inspired me to make yet another one, and I wanted to study the responses in a field test. So in February 1989, around noon, I was entering the canteen of Wilhelmstrasse at the University of Tübingen, armed with the second flyer of what was to be the beginning Dadanarchic intervention flyer series. The text of the flyer was flyer number 2. 1. If you think, you talk to yourself. 2. If you talk to yourself, you have nothing to say to yourself. Postscriptum. Don't think about this flyer. Talk to someone else. I gave one of the flyers to a guy and a woman in the canteen and later asked them whether they liked it. The guy shrugged his shoulders with disinterest and said, "That doesn't tell me anything." Her response was quite different. She seemed to be concerned about my mental health. I guess her intent in the following conversation was to figure out whether I need psychological help. This was quite sympathetic from her, but already quite strange as a response to a joke about confusing internal self-talk in the brain with an idea of a smart philosophy. She looked at me very seriously and asked, "Are you lonely? Would you like someone to talk to you?" I replied, "No, I'm actually not lonely, but I think it's nice in general when people talk to each other." But then, why did you write this down with a typewriter? Why are you photocopying it and distributing it among the people? What do you mean by that? Well, I'm trying to communicate that practically everyone is talking to themselves lonely in their heads, and it would be better if they stopped that completely and rather talk to each other more honestly on the other hand. After hearing my reply, her mood changed drastically from seriously concerned to angrily, aggressively challenged.
But of course, everyone talks to themselves. That's logical.
She pumped up her volume and was ready to set things right aggressively with a strikingly logical argument that explained straight away that human inner speech, self-talk makes total logical sense. However, when she was trying to put together that argument, she realized that all of a sudden she didn't know that argument, which was strange, because she was totally sure her philosophy and her society was absolutely right. The flyer had triggered her, and the ongoing communication about its content triggered her even more. That problem of her lacking that strong logical argument to prove me wrong that self-talk is so important required starting an immediate process of self-talk in her head, until she would have found out why talking to herself in the brain with the voice of an imaginary smart instance in her head was so powerful and useful for life and made complete sense. Why? She had been listening to the voice of her internal self talking to her all the time after she entered the semiotic space of language in her head as a child. While being busy with the self-talking and listening in her head, producing and shifting of symbols, she became silent towards me in the outside world. It quickly dawned on her that finding that strikingly logical argument for self-talk in the brain wasn't all that easy. It actually made her default mode neural self-talk racing, spinning faster and faster in a fruitless loop and getting increasingly loud inside her. But it was not audible from the outside, it just took place in her brain. She had always been talking to herself in her head when she was thinking, or so she thought. And she knew for sure that everyone else around her was also applying the same method of self-talk in the brain to think, and that it was very important, especially for morality, performance in life, and when making the most important decisions. On the other hand, she was just realizing that she had never thought about her inner self-talk decision-making process as such. The clear logical argument that she was looking for went further away from her as she kept trying to ask herself some more questions. After a while, I interrupted her inner pseudo-conversation loop by breaking the silence. I told her, "What's supposed to be logical about self-talk inside your head? I can't tell myself what I don't know, provided I'm not too. At best, I can tell myself what I already know, but what's the use of me being told by myself what I already know?" Her already raging mind flew hastily over the argument, and it didn't find a way out. There was the logical argument that she had just been looking for in vain, but it proved with overwhelming logic the opposite of what she considered the deepest core of her being, the role as the person of her mind on which her whole worldview was built on. The ground floor of the canteen beneath her gave way in this very moment. She totally lost control. Losing control is not a bad thing, but I'm sure for somebody deeply afraid of losing control at all, like her, It was one of the most problematic moments in her life. She had to freak out now. She had to scream now. She had to rave, to defend herself with all her might, her brain power. She had to find something to hold on right now while falling into the invisible gaping hole under her feet. She had to regain stability in her life. Quickly, right now. She began to scream in an insane way, like a complete maniac at the peak of a psychosis. It was a mixture of total fear, anger, desperation, panic, shock, and hatred.
Of course I'm schizophrenic! I know that I'm schizophrenic! But everyone here is schizophrenic! That's completely normal!
These four sentences in German are engraved in my memory. At lunchtime, in a huge crowd, she had just yelled at the entire canteen of Wilhelmstrasse in Tübingen so loud and so crazy and confused that the whole 1 to 2,000 students quickly stopped for an awfully long moment of sudden silence before they started minding their own business again. If it wasn't for the sound of the plate return conveyor belts in the first floor, you could have heard a pin drop on the ground floor near the entrance, where the scene just had taken place. Everyone stood still in silence, the ears wide open for what would happen next in the spectacle, and trying to figure out where that crazy screaming had just taken place. For a quick moment, after the echoes of her screaming faded out, I was stunned, really, shocked, overwhelmed, and amazed before I noticed the eerie silence and started looking around at the scenery. Then I smiled, turned back to her and said, "That's exactly what I want to say with the writing on my flyer. You don't need to tell yourself that anymore. You're done." She didn't notice these words. She stood there, frozen, introverted, like a Manchurian candidate who had just shot the President of the United States in a state of pre-programmed hypnosis, after being triggered to execute this involuntary action by the voice that she heard from a telephone call. I remember a sense of pride, joy, and great excitement, knowing that I had to look up the term schizophrenia in a psychiatric book now. Obviously, she had yelled a bitter truth in my face, and all the other fellow students in the canteen that were completely unsuspicious what was about to happen before they entered the canteen. Some people later accused me of being ethically irresponsible in trying to put a completely clueless and unprepared normal person into a state of non-thinking with such a sledgehammer flyer method, but I had no idea up until this event which kind of intense, strange reactions my work would trigger. So I got the idea to make another flyer. It was supposed to be more subtle and easier on the audience. Well, that didn't quite work out. But this is a story for another day. To be continued.